Anyway, my name is Elijah Davis, Minister of the South Tower Apostolic College Shepherd Training Congregation, United Elijah, the 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is May 6, 2017, or as if 10, 2021. We will start our first service on the Sabbath day with a song entitled The Pearly White City. The holy and beautiful city, whose building is yours. God's holy descending from heaven, in that blessed exile he trod. The harmless he rose is of jasper. The city itself is pure gold, and when the fountain is folded, marshall its glory behold. In that bright city, holy white city, have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I'm watching, waiting, and longing for the white city, Christ's all coming down. No sin is allowed in that city, and nothing defiling nor me. No pain and no sickness can enter, no crape on the door nor the sea. Her sorrows and cares are forgotten. No tempter to earth nor, no pardon was ever spoken. There's nothing to hurt and destroy. In that bright city, holy white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I'm watching, waiting, and longing for the white city, and so coming down. No heartaches are known in that city, no tears ever moisten the heart. There's no disappointment in heaven, no empty or stars in the sky. The saints are all sanctified, holy. Live in sweet harmony there. The heart is not set on that city, and someday his blessings are set. In that bright city, holy white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting, and longing for the white city, and so coming down. My loved ones are gathering yonder. My friends too are passing away. As Soon I shall join the bright number, and dwell in eternity's day. Yes, safe now in glory with Yeshua, her trials and battles are past. They overcome sin and the tempter. Every city at last, in the bright city, holy white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city, my soul coming down. Part 16, the Gentiles, on the 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going through the rest of the New Testament through to the Revelation, chapter by chapter. It says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of the Yeshua. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them unto you. But I have you to know that the head of every man is the Yeshua, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Yeshua is the Yahweh. Every man praying or prophesying having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesies with her head can cover, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shameful woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of Yahweh. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Yahweh. For as a woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of the Yahweh. Judging yourself, is it comely that a woman pray unto the Yahweh uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory unto her, for her hair is given her for a covering. For if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom neither the churches of the congregations of the Yahweh. Celebrating the Yahshua Supper, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the congregation, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. But there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Yahshua's supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the congregation of Yahweh, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of Yahweh that which also I delivered unto you, that the Yahshua Messiah, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take Eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. At the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do surely Yeshua's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Yahweh unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Yahshua. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning Yahshua's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Yahweh, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Okay, that's the end of chapter 11. Let's go on to chapter 12, dealing with spiritual gifts. It says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of Yahweh calls Yahshua cursed, and that no man can say that Yahshua is the Messiah, but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Yahshua. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same Yahweh which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given unto every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of the tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as a body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is the Yahshua. For one Spirit are we all baptized into the one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into that one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, behold, I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? The whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now, every one has Yahweh set the members of every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but Yahweh hath tempered the body together, and having given more abundant honor unto that part which slept, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Yahshua, and members in the particular. And Yahweh has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, third as teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, for all apostles, for all prophets, for all teachers, for all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show out unto you a more excellent way. Okay, end of chapter 12, verse chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in the iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, heareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part. But then shall I know even as also I am known. And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Okay, end of chapter 13. Chapter 14, 1 Corinthians. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto Yahweh. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men unto edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue he edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the congregation. I would that ye all spake with the tongue, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh it with tongue, except he interpret that the congregation may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak unto you either by the revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they find a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is the gospel of the or harp? What is piped or harp? But if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, and who shall prepare himself to the battle? Let's read that again. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself unto the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so are ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of the spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel unto the edifying of the congregation. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but to my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Hallelujah, at thy giving of the thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou really givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my Elohim, I speak with the tongues more than you all. Yet in the congregation, I had rather speak 5 words of my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in the malice be ye children, but in the understanding be men. In the law it is written, with the men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith Yahweh. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but unto them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church, the whole congregation be come together into one place, and all speak with the tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship Yahweh and report that Yahweh is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, that all things be done unto the edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by 2, or at the most by 3, and that by course, and that one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, in the congregation, and let him speak unto himself and unto Yahweh. Let the prophet speak 2 or 3, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed unto another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject unto the prophet. For Yahweh is not the author of confusion, but of the peace, as in all congregations of the saints, that your women keep silence in the congregation. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church, in the congregation. What came the word of Yahweh out of you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet, or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Yahshua. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues, that all things be done decently and in order. This ends chapter 14. Let's continue with 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The subject is Gentiles. It's dealing with Yahshua's resurrection. Start with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And remember what we said about this gospel. I'm going to, again, put parentheses, declare unto you the gospel, parentheses, the plan of the salvation, through the blood of the Yeshua, by the blood of sprinkling, the new and living way, that I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Yeshua died for our sins according unto the Scriptures. Now, how did Yeshua die for your sins according to the Scriptures? Well, let's just go and pick up on Hebrews. Let's start with Hebrews. Let's just back up to Romans chapter 5, and let's do that for a minute. And it says that, this starts with verse 1, therefore being justified by the faith in the blood of the Yeshua. Now he's talking to the Roman Gentiles here. We have peace with the Yahweh through our Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. As if we're justified by his blood. We're justified by his blood, then we have peace with the Father through our Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. By whom also we have access by the faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of the Father, Yahweh. And not only so, but we glory in the tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Okay, let's continue on with verse 4 of Romans chapter 5. And patience experience and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Yahweh is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Yeshua died for the unrighteous. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man one would even dare to die. But Yahweh commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Yeshua died for us. All right, now, I just read to you there in 1 Corinthians 15, where it talked about verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Yeshua died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, how did he die for our sins? While we were yet sinners. That's when he died for our sins, while we were yet sinners. Now think about that. When you put Romans 5, 8, 1 Corinthians 15, 3, then you have a little bit more clarity. All right, now let us go back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according unto the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, and whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecute the congregation of the Yahweh. But by the grace of Yahweh I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of Yahweh which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. The necessity of our resurrection. And this is interesting. There is a necessity of our resurrection. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 15. Now to Yahshua be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is the Yahshua not risen? If Yahshua be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of the Yahweh, because we have testified of Yahweh that he raised up Yahshua, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Yahshua raised. And if Yahshua be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. And they also which are fallen asleep in Yahshua are perished. If in this life only we have hope in the Yahshua, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Yahshua risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in the Yahshua shall all be made alive. But every man his own order, Yahshua the first fruits, afterwards they that are Yahshua at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of the Yahweh, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that put all things under him, that Yahweh may be all in all. Else what shall they do that are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in the jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing that I have in the Yahshua Messiah our Savior. I die daily. And that's in verse 31. That talks about dying daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at the Ephesus, meaning he's fought with those resisters of the truth of the leadership, the Jews and the Pharisees, the scribes and the Sadducees, that was these beasts he's talking about. What advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Why am I fighting with all of these Jews and Pharisees and Sadducees about this issue of the dead rising or not rising, especially the Sadducees? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. He said, don't be deceived. Evil communication with these here false prophets, false teachers, corrupts good manners. Awaken to righteousness and sin not. Now he's telling you to awake unto righteousness and sin not. That's getting right to the point, folks. 1 Corinthians 15:34. I'll read it again. Awake unto righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of Yahweh. I speak this unto your shame. Okay, now we're going into verse 35, dealing with the body that is raised. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but Yahweh giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and unto every seed his own body. Unto every seed. It says all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of the flesh of men, another flesh of the beast, another of the fishes, and another of the birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. What does that mean? You drop a grain of corn in the earth, and the corn dies. The body of the corn dies. But it has a life kernel inside of it. And it springs forth into new life. But it has to go into the earth, and it has to go through the ground, and it has to go through the rain, water, and then it has to have the sun to heat it. And there it comes. A new body. The old body has been disintegrated. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. In other words, it's put down in the ground in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterwards that which is spiritual. We have a natural body right now. Until our body has been redeemed by the Spirit through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, raised up into immortality and perfection, we are a natural body that's being renovated. But it has to die to self. It has to die to the carnal flesh. It has to mortify the deeds of the body. And then it becomes a spiritual body. So we can go through that in our conversion. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 verses in Romans chapter 6 explains that process. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Yahshua from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. As I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Well, this has really thrown a lot of people, especially the Jehovah Witnesses. They made a whole religion out of verse 50 here. The Jehovah Witness created their whole denomination, their own occultic denomination upon this one verse right here. And I'm going to read it again. Verse 50, 1 Corinthians 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So they, by this verse, they interpret the Jehovah's Witness to mean that in this here physical body, whether it be carnal or whether it be spiritual, no way can a spiritual body enter into heaven. It has to be a spirit that's invisible. And they say that the 144,000 are these invisible spirits that can only go into heaven. The rest of us stay here on earth in our fleshly carnal bodies, and we become good people over time, and we're going to reign 1,000 years here on this earth, and not only 1,000 years during the millennium, but we're going to reign throughout eternity. And the resurrected are going to be the resurrected wicked, that we're going to teach them how to be good people so that they can live forever also. Now, Satan has really done a number on the Jehovah's Witness. That's all I'm going to say about it at this point. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And that, what does it mean, the dead? The righteous dead. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto Yahweh, which giveth us the victory through our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. Thanks unto the Father. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Yahweh, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Yahweh. All right, that's the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And now let's go read Hebrews chapter 9, a little bit, verse about 12 through 15 there. It says that, let's just read, start with verse 11. Yahshua is perfect sacrifice. But Yahshua being come and high priest of the good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with the hands, that is to say, not of this building. So now Yahshua is in charge of a better tabernacle than what Moses had here on earth, that he raised up in the wilderness for the children of Israel. He's got a better tabernacle. He's got a better ministry. He's got a sure ministry. And it says right there in verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And that is, while we were yet sinners, in this mortal flesh, before we make the transition into that immortality, Yahshua did all this for us. As we became converted unto the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, of the plan of salvation through the blood, of his sprinkling, then that is how we make this transition as we become converted and accepted his blood so that he can wash away our sins, and then we can start walking in the newness of life. For if the blood of the bulls and of the goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth unto the purifying of the flesh, you realize that under the law of Moses, that the sinner could come and bring his blood sacrifice and have it offered for him by the priest back then, and that priest could take that blood of that animal sacrifice and sprinkle the unclean. And it sanctified to the purifying of the flesh back then, of the people that brought their sacrifice for that reason. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of the Yahshua, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto Yahweh, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Yahweh? Now, isn't this amazing? That the animal that was brought, say the lamb that was brought by the sinner to the outer court back then, he would offer it, but it had to be offered the first year without blemish. And so it says, if you could take a lamb without blemish, and it can be offered and the sprinkling of the blood of, for instance, of an heifer even, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying effect, how much more shall the blood of the Yahshua, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto Yahweh, purge your conscience from the dead works for the serving of the living Yahweh. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of the death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. But where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Alright, so the testator is the sacrifice. That was the lamb back in the Old Testament time. That was the animal. He became the testator. And he took his blood. And so, when a sinner made a testament, he made it with the death, by the death of the testator. Verse 17, Hebrews 9. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So the animal, as long as he was alive, and he was singled out as a sacrifice for the sin of that sinner that owns the lamb. First, the sinner has to own the lamb, and then he has to bring the lamb without blemish, and he has to offer him. And until that is done, that sin remains with that sinner. But as soon as that animal is slain, take his blood, then the blood is used then for the sanctifying, purifying of that sinner from his sin, then that's the death of the testator. That's his testimony. That's the witness after. Well, we can look at it. Right over there in Hebrews 11:4. It says, by faith Abel, by faith in the blood of that animal, being the testator, Abel offered unto Yahweh, unto the Yahweh, a more excellent sacrifice than the Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. For the Yahweh testified of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. So, the animal died, but his blood is what spoke. It became the testator, and testified that Abel was righteous. You know, why couldn't Cain obtain that? Cain had offered the fruit of his ground, that he had of vegetables and so forth. And but there's no blood there. There's no testator there. That's simple enough. Okay, so now it says in Hebrews 9, verse 18, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses has spoken every... Okay, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. So the first testament means that it's the sinner, represents the testament. And he has to bring his testator with him to the tabernacle. The blood of the testator then testifies to the righteousness of that sinner after it's offered. Verse 19, for when Moses had spoken every precept unto all the people according unto the law, he took the blood of the calves and of the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament that the Yahweh hath enjoined unto you. Okay. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Almost all things are by the law purged with the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So you have to take that blood of the testament, Moses did, and had to also purify the vessels that it was put into, that was used there, and the altars and everything. And verse 23, Hebrews 9, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves are better sacrifices than these. For Yahshua has not entered into the holy places made with hand, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of Yahweh for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world, of what world? The Old Testament world. Hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Yahshua comes, and he puts away the sin of the Old Testament world by the sacrifice of himself. Okay, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this to judgment. Well, if the animal put away, the blood of the animal put away the sin of those that had profited by it and had gone, come and gone and died and are in their graves, and that they are declared righteous in their graves. That's the reason why when you have the resurrection, they come forth. But Yahshua's blood was offered for the sinners that was living when he came and made his offering and his sacrifice. It was offered for the sinners that was, in other words, Paul said, Yahshua died for our sin while we were yet sinners. Okay? So Yahshua once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So what does he offer today? What does he offer his blood of sprinkling today for? The sins of living sinners. I mean, they're not perpetual sinners. These are righteous people that... if they do sin, then they have an advocate. So you can go and read John chapter 1 on that. And that's exactly what I'm going to do, but after I read this last verse. As it is appointed, verse 27, Hebrews 9, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this to judgment. So Yahshua was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto him that looked for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Alright? So Yahshua died for the living sinners, and he also died so that when he resurrects, then that will then will pave the way for the resurrection of all the righteous dead that had gone on before. The righteous dead that had gone before, they died by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant that was to come to redeem them in the end. But the animal stood, the blood sufficed and showed that they followed the blood system, was willing to follow the blood system, but the animal, proving themselves faithful to the blood of the everlasting covenant that was, they were taught. Okay, now in 1 John, I think it's chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my little children, these things write out unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua Messiah the righteous. So that's the only time that you have to bring your offerings and confessions and repentance of sins is if you sin. After you've learned how to, and have already been cleansed by the blood of Yahshua. You've already accepted, been converted unto the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You've been cleansed once, and this is all that John is telling them. If you do sin, though, after that happened, then you have an advocate. And he is a propitiation for our sins, he says. This is what John said. So John is saying that even though you have been purified, sanctified, and made righteous and perfected, and made perfect, you still are going to have this sin situation that exists in you and around you, not necessarily in you, but if you do, and David talks about these sins, what kind of sins they are. He went through the same thing. He said the presumptuous sins, those that we sin ignorantly, and David prayed that that would not have a reign over him, that he'd become so knowledgeable of the right way that there in Psalms 19, and I'm going to close with Psalms 19. Okay, it says in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of Yahweh, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The line has gone out through all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. And them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, that is, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eye. For the fear of the Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is a great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret fault. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. This is my prayer for myself. This is my prayer for everyone that hears this sermon, all of our people in Africa. This is my prayer for the whole world, for the remnant of the whole world that are to be gathered. And so I'm going to close this service now with a song. Eternal Home by Elijah David. Lights from heaven shine down, lights are fast red on the ground. Oh, let the light shine to my soul. I'll sing praise to his name, and I'll never be the same. Oh, Oh.